The Shattered Sea is currently looking for a beer sponsor. If you represent a brewing company and would like to have the Shattered Sea drink and compliment your beer on air, please write to liam@shatteredsea.com.
So welcome to March of the Phantom Brigade, D&D Encounters Week 5. This marks the beginning of Chapter 2 of the adventure.
And so it's been 6 months.
It has been, yeah. I'm going to do a little, in the blurby that I read at the beginning, it explains that 6 months have passed since our initial encounter. So if you remember, just a quick recap from what's happened so far for those people in podcast land who are just joining us for the very first time and for players who might be a little forgetful. Brother Splinter Shield is a dwarf who was originally from the dwarven city of Hammerfast, and he was ambitious enough to come up with the idea of creating a settlement halfway between Hammerfast and some other city I can't remember the name of right now. Basically, it was the two cities are located in the northern and southern part of a mountain range, and the most direct route between them is sort of a hostile area. The existing trade routes brought travelers way the heck around the Badlands in order to go from point A to point B. So Brother Splinter Shield decided to create a new settlement in the more direct route as sort of a halfway point in order to bring some civility to the Badlands. As fortune would have it, one of the local woodsmen came across a ruins of an old castle, and when Splinter Shield heard about this, he figured that was a perfect place to start the village. It was a good defensible position. There was a lot of the original castles. A lot of the original castle's foundation was still there, so it was a solid starting point. So the adventure began with the characters being a part of the original group of settlers that were going to this new village. So you might have been going because you have a skill or a trade that was necessary for the prosperity of the village. You might have been going just to, you know, live life on the wild frontier and see what things are like outside of the confines of a city. You might be on the run from the law. You might be looking for sanctuary, a religious sanctuary, whatever your reasons might be. Everyone was welcome, and that's where the adventure began. So the heroes weren't necessarily with the group for protection, let's say, as often happens in a lot of these adventures. The heroes are hired to protect the caravan. It was simply you were there because you were going to be a part of this prosperous community down the road.
But you happen to have to protect it.
Well, yes, of course.
Just so happened.
Just so happened, in order to keep things interesting and so that we would keep coming back week after week, there were some unexpected perils along the way.
Stretches, goblins.
Many things. And
mountains.
Okay! I'm not... Enough with the fountain.
It took about 3 days to get from Hammerfast to the site of the ruins, and the trip itself was not in and of itself free of dangers and peril, and the heroes had to prove their worth a few times. One of the most interesting things that happened was that when you arrived at the ruins, Brother Splinter Shield explained that he was going to cast a ritual over the land in order to keep it safe long term for the community, and just, you know, bless the land. And when he started actually performing the ceremony, it's almost like the evil that had, you know, accumulated over the years in the surrounding area, felt this this ritual happening, and just, you know, they all arose from the grave to try and stop him.
Not in my backyard.
And the heroes, along with the settlers, managed to keep the undead at bay, and long enough for Brother Splinter Shield and his clerics to enact the ritual. And when that happened, all the undead that were within the area that the ritual protected, they just simply were destroyed. Which was fortunate, because with this group of heroes, the undead were quickly outnumbering them, because we didn't have at the time anyone with beguiling strands. But we've got that covered. We got that covered this time around.
The son of God, hired to work on learning beguiling strands.
Such a good
call. Get our best man on it.
Now, just before the ritual began, and basically the event that really... pushed Brother Splinter Shield to get the ritual completed quickly was in the center of the ruins, there was like the remains, a circular ring. It was the remains of the original tower of the castle. But when you guys had investigated it, it almost seemed like there was like nothing was ever there. Like it was completely smooth and completely flat. It wasn't crumbled and decaying like a lot of the other towers around, and which was a little bit unusual. But you didn't really pay it much mind. And not long after the caravan came in and started unloading the supplies, a ghostly tower began to arise from out of this flat surface area. Yeah, like it just grew out. It looked like it grew out of the ground. And then became a solid structure, and like it was absolutely 100% completely solid. It's there. There's no doors. There's no windows. It doesn't seem to be any way into it. And that really freaked out Splinter Shield, so that's what got him to get the ritual done right away.
And as soon as the ritual was over...
We got this cool tower.
But well, the problem was, a ghost came along.
Yes.
One in a very bad mood.
The ritual in itself took care of all the undead, but the tower was unaffected. And again, Splinter Shield, at first, like, he didn't expect the tower to disappear, but the fact that it remains, you know, after he did the ritual, he was a little bit calmer after that. He's like, well, you know, the ritual is a blessing. If this tower was evil or bad, it probably would have shown some sort of adverse effect to being there once the ritual was in place, but it didn't. So he was okay with that. What did happen, though, almost immediately after the ritual happened was a ghost, like a ghost soldier just sort of casually walked up to the front gate, and when he got to the edge of the ritual, he started, you know, demanding attention. Who, you know, who's responsible for this? I want to come into the ruins of the castle. And Splinter Shield came forward, and in his normal Volume 11 speech, at the top of his lungs, went on and on about how, you know, he is the power of the church, and it is because of him that this place is blessed, and that this foul ghost should disappear and go away, and he's not welcome.
Scram.
And meanwhile, the ghost, you know, identified himself as what was his name? Gladstone something or other.
It's in the letter.
Leader. Leader
his name
of the
was
Phantom
Salazar Gladstone.
Leader of the Phantom Brigade.
Well, at that point, you didn't know anything about Phantom Brigade yet. We're jumping ahead. But essentially, he explains that, well, and he explains in very angry tones that the graveyard you guys found that looked like it had been tended was actually being tended by him. It was the remains of his wife that are buried there. And it takes him a number of days to go from her graveyard back to where his remains are. And so he's constantly going between the two points. And essentially, he was back at his own grave when you guys started all of this. And now he was trying to come back to visit his wife's grave. And Splinter Shield's having none of it. He's like, you're a ghost. You're bad news. Too bad. See you later. You're not welcome. Go away. And except he did it in a very rude way, which maybe wasn't as necessary. But anyway, that's the way it played out. Unfortunately, due to a time constraints in real life, we sort of glossed over that. There should have been more of an opportunity for you guys to roleplay that out. You could have got a little bit of information, which I believe I provided, and I will certainly remind you of when it becomes relevant. But when the ghost basically gets to a point where he realizes Splinter Shield's got the ritual up, Splinter Shield has no intention of taking it down, and he's certainly not going to make any exception for the ghost. The ghost gets really angry and says, you know, today you've only barred off one guy, but let's see how well you do against the Phantom Brigade. And he just fades away. And that was where we sort of cut the scene, and that was the most exciting thing that's happened in 6 months. So 6 months have passed. It's now winter time, and that's where we're picking things up.
What have we been doing?
Well, that you got to tell me. So that's my first question is, I'm going to go around the table, and you guys tell me first. Again, so we've got a couple of new players, and it's been a couple of weeks. Tell us who you're playing, who your character is, and just tell me what you think you've been doing for 6 months. And if you can't think of anything, I mean, come up with something boring. I really don't care, but this is a chance for you to flesh out your guy a little bit more, just to give him some flavor. So why don't we start with Liam? Who are you playing tonight, Liam?
I'm playing Valnay. I'm an Aladrin cleric. I went on this expedition as an archaeologist, thinking that like maybe at best I'd find like some clay pots with some writing on it, and then that would be pretty substantial finds. So right now I'm basically trying to write the book that will make my academic career as quickly as possible.
Okay.
And hopefully, well, I can make it alive.
Yep. And your character's a cleric, right? Did you mention that? Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
Okay. First of all, I have a question.
Yes.
Is Liam the only person who really fights at close range here?
Yeah, we've seen that way.
Poor cleric.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It'll work out.
Yeah, we'll worry about that when things come to a head.
Who are you playing? I'm going to be starting attacking us at close.
Okay. So you're playing.
Who are you playing tonight?
So I'm playing Belgo's Dragonborn Ranger.
Okay.
What he's been doing for the past couple of months is dealing with a small group of kobolds that set themselves up in one of the mountain passes.
Okay. Yeah, there's certainly a lot of monstrous creatures in the area, but...
he's been trying to get them not to be bad guys.
Okay. Have you been trying to convince them nicely, or have you just been attacking them?
Convince them nicely.
Okay.
So you have your own ragtag band of kobolds?
Yeah. One important detail that I may not have mentioned that could be relevant down the road is that Malgrim, who you remember was leading the caravan, he's a ranger of no small renown and no small skill. He has become essentially the captain of the watch in the new village, and he has his own band of like junior rangers. Think of them like they would certainly be first level or probably even less than first level, but they're experienced woodsmen who have worked with Malgrim in the past, and they're all basically like his deputies. But at the same time, they're not confined to the city. I mean, the town is still quite small, given that there are only a handful of villagers. Like, it's probably the population is between 50 and 100. So in addition to keeping order in the town itself, they are also responsible for sort of patrolling the area, which is not to say that you guys, if you have the necessary skill set, couldn't be doing that as well. But that has been their primary task.
So the real tough guys. Kind of bruisers.
No, they certainly don't put up with any crap, but at the same time, they're definitely outdoorsy types. So, okay. So the point I was going to make there was, as you've been doing your expeditions out and stuff, some of them have probably become pretty good friends with you. And again, you've already demonstrated your prowess as a ranger, and Malgrim certainly respects all of you guys, but probably as a ranger himself, he respects you of tremendous deal. So some of his guys have basically befriended you and on your missions and stuff. Some of them would probably be asking, like, can we go with you? Although you're not officially a deputy for sakes of the mechanics of the game, I think a lot of Malgrim's guys would probably, you know, do requests and favors for you if you were to ask if you needed help.
Or might request me to assist.
That absolutely. Okay, Barry, who you got tonight?
I'm playing Jaren, the human wizard.
Okay.
Evocation mage. I've basically been hanging around with Philadra, trying to learn about herbs and things like that.
I imagine she's, although she's highly educated, I almost picture her sort of like a hippie. Like, she's like free-spirited. She likes, like, she knows all about plants and herbs. And, you know, we put these things together, it'll make this taste real good. But at the same time, she's like, I think she's got an 18 intelligence. Like, she's really smart, and she's been acting probably as de facto teacher for some of the younger people in the community. And as a historian, she's been cataloging and documenting everything that's been going on as the community's been settling. So there's certainly a lot of interactions probably been happening between the group and her. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am playing Orath, human mage, and enchantment school mage. Basically, in his childhood, he ran away with a circus, and he lives to entertain, so his whole idea is coming to the settlement to open up his own like little entertainment show, become a sort of one-man show with prestidigitation and hypnotize.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what we've been doing for the past 6 months or whatever. Not making too much
Works for me. All right, so it's been about 6 months. It's winter now. Again, I'm assuming you guys would have taken out, left the expedition. Probably would have left in like April, May-ish, when the spring thaw was happening. Because if you remember during the first encounter from this map, it was part of the spring thaw and a heavy rainstorm that washed out the road in the first place.
Yeah.
So you figure 6 months down the road, we're looking at October, November, December-ish, and it's somewhere near the mountains. So. Certainly a lot of snow. So although the map we're going to use tonight has this green area on it, it's covered in snow, and that will be relevant for some of the details. So I'll remind you
snow
of those details.
Makes, as snow makes it's perception cold. Checks for tracking someone easier?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, you'd be able to tell if there's tracks. And likewise, if you're trying to hide somewhere, people will be able to see where you've been because you'll be leaving tracks as well. So... if that becomes relevant, I'll remind you. But
But can he fly?
No.
So this is where we begin. So winter has come to the Nenter Vale. A heavy blanket of snow has draped the wilderness near Inverness in peaceful white. In the 6 months since you helped found the town in the ruins of the ancient castle in Inverness, the settlers have constructed homes and workplaces, established farms in the surrounding valley, and begun laying a road north towards Hammerfest. Where once only a crumbling ruin stood, the village of Inverness has grown and prospered thanks to the hard work of the homesteaders and the expanding trade with the village of Harkonwood to the south. There we go, Harkonwood. I knew I couldn't remember that. The ghost tower continues its undisturbed vigil despite every attempt to enter it. So as we mentioned before, it's still there. Nothing's been going on. No one's been going in. No one's been coming out.
It
seems to be impervious to physical and magical damage. I'm sure that early on, everybody tried to hack away at it. Even guys with magical weapons tried it. Magic missiles, a whole bit. Nothing was working. Oh, okay. I couldn't remember who ended up with the other weapon.
Yeah.
So you get it? Just remember, you got to add plus one to all your attack rolls.
So I'm just making sure that, so just to make it easier, my plus is now 8 and my damage is plus 5 damage.
Okay, so just write it down so you remember, because I'm going to forget if you don't. Yeah, yeah, and if you do a critical strike, then obviously you do extra damage. We always remember that.
Is there an enterprising blacksmith who's using the tower as an anvil?
Yeah, no kidding.
What?
It's okay. Move on.
Okay, so this is where we pick up the scene. The day is ending in Inverness. Shops are closing down, and farmers have begun to arrive in the village for an evening at the tavern. You make your way there as well. You find the tavern crowded, as usual. A fire roars in the hearth, and the revelers quickly shed their heavy outer clothes. Temperature and good cheer combine to create a warm glow in each patron's face. After greeting a number of non-familiar settlers, you spot the wizard Philadra. She has spent the past months studying the ghost tower, trying to find a way inside. So far, she's had no success. And of course, as you come in, well, for whatever reason, we'll assume the party has met before they got there. You guys come in together, you look around, and she sees you, and she actually gives you the, why don't you come and join me, play.
I say just burn it.
They've tried that. They've tried everything you can think of, and they haven't been able to enter it or access it.
Okay, too many modern thoughts.
Climate?
Okay. Pardon me?
Climate?
Yeah, they climbed the top. There's. It's just like the flat roof with the tower with the defensive buttons.
Turks.
Think like a rook on a chessboard.
Yeah,
that's exactly
turks.
What it looks like.
Turks.
Yeah,
it's just there.
Yeah, it's just there. Okay. So you guys go and sit with her.
Yes.
You don't want to be a boring encounter. Okay, so you sit down, and she offers you, she's having some stew, and she's like, oh, this is made with some special herbs I've grown myself. I should have a bowl. And she signals the waitress, 4 more stews.
Definitely. I love stew.
She explains that she's like, there's some special ingredients in here that I managed to procure from a group of elven travelers that came through here a couple weeks ago. I don't know if any of you had any dealings with them, but it's quite tasty. She gives it a little wink, like, you like it.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Who has everyone tell me what your passive insight is.
Passive insight.
So it's your insight
13.
Plus 10. Okay.
17.
I'm 13. I'm really bad
very,
passive insight.
Add 10 to that.
Add 10?
Yeah,
23?
Yeah. Yeah. Subtract 10 from that.
Yeah.
Oh, 14. So, what he's looking at is just the insight skill, right? And you add 10 to that.
Okay. As the stews arrive, our friend Belgos just dives right into the stew. This is delicious! Meanwhile, the rest of you realize that Philadra, although she's being very kind and pleasant, she clearly looks like she's worried a little bit. Like she's got something on her mind. And possibly that could be the, you know, sort of the why she's flagged over. Because, I mean, you guys have had interactions with her, but it is a little unusual for her to be, like, in this kind of a public place and want it. So she seems like she's... Although she's friendly, she doesn't usually come to, like, a big tavern like this. Like, she would just entertain at her house or something. So, so you guys are sort of like,
why do I always get singled out for room affiliation?
Because you have a low insight.
Yum!
Like, what can I say?
What's wrong with this stew, then?
Well, it's delicious. You can't put your finger... Is any of the characters elven?
Yeah, I'm
Eladrin. Okay. You recognize it as just herbs that are absolutely not indicative to this part of the world. Like, it's probably stuff that you're like, wow, she's right. This was hard to come by. And you're thinking, she probably paid an arm and a leg for these, so I'm going to enjoy this stew.
Stew.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I like it a lot. It's so warm now.
So as you guys are eating, she talks a little bit. She just explains again some of the details you probably heard before. Just, you know, she's been working on trying to get in this tower, and Barry, you've probably been helping her with some of her research as well. And she's like, you know, she's tried this, she's tried that, nothing's worked. She's been trying to create various rituals to learn more information. She's like, you know, at first we just tried to knock down the wall to get inside, and that wasn't working. So she's like, she tried another way to maybe use, like, divination to find out more about it. She's like, maybe if we knew more about it, that would reveal a clue.
And
she's
dig under it.
She's tried. They've tried everything they can think of, and with no success. And like, she's been doing this almost nonstop for, like, 6 months. Like, she's clearly exhausted physically and mentally. And she's just tired. Now, while she's been talking, and she sort of just gets to a point where she's, you know, she's exhausted. She stops talking, and there's just like this silence at the table for a few minutes where everyone's just eating their stew or having a drink. And at the table, basically, like, it'd be like these guys at the table next. As all of a sudden your conversation sort of gets quiet, you can more clearly hear what they're talking about. And it's actually a few of the guys that are part of Malgrim's crew, the scouts. And you hear them talking about something that's going on or that's gone on recently in the Harkin Forest, which is nearby. And they're talking about various strange things they're finding. So, like, the one guy's like, he's like, I came across this deer, and clearly it was dead. And just the body looked weird. There was like these weird growths on it. He's like, I couldn't explain it. And the other guy's like, yeah, not, you know, a couple of days before that, came across a couple of rabbits. Same thing. They were dead. There was no explanation as to what happened. And they had these weird. What's that?
As if they'd been killed by undead or something?
Well, I mean, if you want to ask them, like, they're sort of, you can tell that Philadra is being polite by having him at her table, but I don't think she'd mind if you sort of walked over to the other table to ask some questions. Okay, so as Philadra realizes you guys have sort of are listening in on a conversation, she's like, go ahead. Like, she's certainly not expecting you to stay. So yeah, basically, you know, it's like this. You can just go over and you'd sort of, hey, what are you guys talking about? And so they sort of lean over and you guys start chatting a little bit. What did you ask? Something about undead?
Yeah, like, did it look as if it was something non-natural? Like
a necrotic? Like the
necrotic
undead. And they're like, he's like, no, the one guy's like, I've seen undead before and I fought them before, and he's like, it was definitely not the necrotic kind. And he describes what it looked like, and it said it was like a strange, almost like a crystal kind of growth that had broken through from underneath the skin, as opposed to something that was like thrown at it.
With a 24 for heal, does that ring any bells for me?
A little bit. Two or three guys continue to describe what they're seeing, what they've seen. They tell you that
can we roll for nature to see?
Hang on. Let me finish the description, and then we can roll away. So they're saying the crystalline growths, they're like a reddish color, and they contain gold flecks. And so, given this description, when you're thinking about heal, you would know absolutely with 100% certainty that no natural disease has that kind of symptoms. You know, it's not like, oh, he's got typhoid, no wonder he's showing those symptoms. It's like, it is so bizarre. It doesn't sound like anything you've ever heard of, you've ever read of, you've ever, you know, it is completely alien to you.
Can I roll for nature to see if I can ring any bells?
Hang on just one sec. With the nature check, you wouldn't even have to roll. You would sort of pick up on the same details that you. I assume you would share that sort of with the party.
These wounds sound quite unnatural.
Yeah, and so as the scouts, they're continuing to. So now that you're listening, they're sort of trying to. Well, you know, if you thought that was good, you know, rabbits. Let me tell you about this. So he's, the one guy talks about how he came across like a mountain lion, and he said, or no, it was a sorry, it was a deer. It was one of the he was attacked by a deer of all things, and he said, you know. I had to defend myself. He goes, I thought it was rabbit. It was just, it attacked me from out of nowhere. It wouldn't stop. He's like, I finally managed to kill it. And sure enough, after when I examined it, it had these same strange growths on it. And
sounds like someone's been doing alchemy.
Give me a nature check now based on this little bit of detail.
Oh, I got a 28.
Okay. So, you would know, and again, I think the party will probably pick this up after you prompt them a bit. The idea of a deer attacking a person is like
most unheard of,
bizarre. Yeah,
and
that's why the guy thought maybe it had rabies. And he said that's why he thought it had rabies at first, because he said like that kind of a behavior from that kind of animal. Like normally a deer would take off as soon as it heard anything. So he said,
I have a feeling I know what someone talked.
Can I maybe do an arcana check to see if
anyone's doing?
Yes.
Oh, 18.
You are confident that based on their description, it doesn't sound like it's anything natural, as the ranger has pretty much confirmed. And based on the description from the hunters, it certainly doesn't sound like it's necrotic or unholy in any way. So you're pretty sure from process of elimination and based on your arcane expertise that it's probably magical in nature. But until you actually have a physical something to look at, you can't be certain. But you've got your suspicions, and they seem to be well-founded.
My best bet, someone's been doing alchemy, and made some kind of disease that...
Well, they tell you that the areas where they've seen these creatures are quite widespread. So he said if it was, like, one person trying to intentionally... mess with some of the animals, they covered a lot of ground in a very short amount of time, which in this time of year would be noticeable for the rangers. They would see tracks. The other thing that one of the guys manages to tell you is, he says about a week ago he saw a strange hovering light drifting through the forest as you returned to the castle. The light converged on a spot deep in the forest and then just vanished. And this comes from a particular guy who's particularly superstitious about magic, which you would know because you're probably buddies with him. Like, he always seems to overreact with it. He's like, oh my god, it's foul magic! You know? And you guys immediately can come up with like 10 possible, very reasonable explanations that could be explained and be in no way connected to this. Like, the first thing that pops to your mind, he goes, you know, that could be a will-o'-the-wisp. They're not unknown to be in this part of the forest at this time of year. There's also the possibility that a part of the Feywild has interacted with the forest there, which is, again, not uncommon, and I believe, as an Eladrin, you know, too. And it could be, yeah, just some sort of a fairy creature. So you guys can sort of, okay, you know what? It sounds like this particular incident is possibly and quite likely unrelated, so let's not confuse our facts and assume that they're all related. He sort of put his calm down. He's like, oh, okay, well, if you're sure, he's like, you're the wizard. So, okay.
So
after you've been in the tavern like maybe about a half hour, you've had your stew, you've had a couple of drinks, you've been talking with the rangers, you know, they've sort of given you all the information that they've got about this, you've asked some follow-up questions, and it seems like this is pretty much all they know. And you sort of get ready to just sit back and pound a few beers and call it a night, and Brother Splintershield comes into the tavern. All eyes are drawn to the entrance of the tavern when Splintershield arrives. His eyes fleck about quickly before setting on your table. He approaches purposefully and speaks to Philandra. Those words and expression take you all in. I think you'd better come and have a look at this. Some of the outriders are back, and it looks bad. So again, she's, again, as exhausted as she is, she immediately snaps to attention. She's like, absolutely, show me the way. What can I do?
I immediately dash after.
Yeah, we follow.
Yeah, we'll follow.
Okay.
Well, putting one hand on her quiver at the same time.
On her what?
Quiver.
Okay. We'll just use this for now. So, imagine this is the road going through the town, and then these are all just buildings on the side, so I don't want to get the other map out. So, you guys would start there.
Well, justice. Oh, there are buildings now.
What's that?
Wait, no, there are not.
Okay, so you can call the arm. You're committing
yourself.
Okay, so put you guys
down there. Which way are we going? That way?
As soon as that way, we're staying back there.
Okay, I'm going to be up front with Splinter Shield.
Are you playing?
Yeah, okay.
Easy.
Sure.
Actually, make that back here.
Sure.
One second, but
okay.
Close enough.
So, Splinter Shield and Flavor at the front. And as you, let me just, where's my screen? Okay. Laying out neatly in two rows are the bodies of six male humans. The body of each one bears numerous red crystalline lesions. The corpses are otherwise unmarked. Malgrim, the half-orc, who I have him somewhere and I'll look for in a second, is kneeling over the bodies as you approach. I've never seen anything like this. We were hoping one of you might be able to tell us what's happened to these workers.
Warriors, or are they?
Soldiers here. They're workers. They were like lumberjacks. They were up in the forest.
Find them. Oh, now that makes sense.
He found them like this?
Don't tell me they're gonna come to life.
Oh, I need to get initiatives. Everybody give me initiative.
Oh.
11.
Right.
Yeah.
13.
Wow.
Hang on.
A billion.
Okay, Liam, what'd you get?
An impressive 6.
Awesome. Noah, what'd you get?
13.
Barry?
12.
Great.
11.
Don't tell me we're doing tactical intelligence.
Okay. So, you guys basically get up to right there.
He's staying by the tree.
Well, again, this is supposed to be a city, so don't worry about the physical landmarks yet. As you get up to here, Malgrim's over here, and he's sort of kneeling down over this guy. He says, I've never seen anything like this. We were hoping one of you might be able to tell us what happened to these workers.
Well, now you get a chance to test your theory that it's magical.
Someone asked if they were carried in like this. He tells you, no, he says, actually, they arrived under their own power. He goes, they've been here about 15, 20 minutes ago. They walked in through the gates. They could barely walk under their own power. They were staggering and stumbling and helping each other. And basically, as soon as they hit the village, as soon as they walked through the front gates, they just didn't collapse. They were clearly exhausted.
Great. Ghosts.
Give me a break.
You were asking before about the nature, about whether or not there was magic. Yeah. This, you've now got examples in front of you. If you want to go up and examine one, you can, and then you can make another arcana check.
Yes, I do.
So, positioning? Not yet.
All right.
Move your guy to where he is, because positioning could be important.
All right, so let's move right here.
Okay.
Can I move up to just take a look?
Sure.
Myself?
Okay, so
I'm going to make a nature.
Wait, I move arcana check? Back.
Run away!
I only managed 12 arcana checks.
That's more than enough.
Oh, there you go.
I gave you a bonus because you did so awesome on the last roll. Okay.
Can
so,
I make a nature?
Not yet.
Hold on.
So the sores are crystal and are magical in nature.
nature, but they are inert at present. They radiate no magical energy. But you figure that when these men die, whatever magic might have been infused in this crystalline infection seemed to have died with them. So you've seen it up close, you've got a little bit more information, but you figure if you were able to come across someone who is actually still alive while they're infected, you would definitely be able to learn more information. Okay, sorry, what did you want to do?
Roll for nature.
And what are you trying to accomplish with this nature check?
See if, like, say they could have been passed on from something.
It'd probably be more of a heal check.
Heal.
You want to make a heal check?
No, that's better.
Okay.
He's better at that.
I'll take a knee and examine one of them. These crystals are bizarre.
Where are you moving up here? This is where you guys are. You gotta be in the Jason Square.
14.
Okay. 14 heal check?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're confident that whatever caused these sores, whatever the crystalline thing was, that's definitely what killed them. Nothing about them indicates a poison or any other sort of natural disease that you might be aware of, especially since it infected all six so quickly.
There's no marks from wounds or anything?
Nothing. Just where the crystalline structure has grown out from inside of them.
Like, say, like actual crystals, or is it just like...
Yeah, it's like actual crystals have broken through their skin in all different areas. Like, yeah.
Some have it. To where Barry is.
You're still here. Don't go anywhere yet.
Okay.
Okay. So, Barry, do you want to do anything?
No.
Okay. Let me just roll my initiative here and see if we're jumping in. 18. Okay, so this would be me. So, 1, 2, 3. Okay. So, this one, next to Noah, it reaches up for you.
I kick it.
On your turn.
Okay. So, what's your armor class?
A good 15.
Okay. So it sort of he starts. He goes to reach for you, but you sort of pull yourself back
and kiss
before
it.
Anything can happen. And you're up.
Okay. I immediately shift out of the way.
Yeah.
And I make a clever shot against it.
Okay.
Okay. So plus 8. 17.
Okay. So you draw back, you fire at him, you shoot him. Malgrim freaks out. What the hell are you doing, man? And Malgrim runs over and he's like, Steve, are you still with us? And as he's dying, he yells out, a demon of the forest, a plague, the water. And he dies.
You killed Steve.
Hey,
and Malgrim looks at you and he's like, what the hell, man? Like, he is really angry.
Arrest this man. He's a murderer.
He's like, there were 12 men in this room. He's like, I think you and your friends should go and see if any of the rest of them are alive. After killing Steve like this is the least you can do.
Hey,
get your gear
first.
And go.
Yeah, a dying man attacked you.
What? Cool. Hey, I'm fickle of hope. Hey, I hate undead. Last time I fought them, I broke my ankle.
No, he's just regularly dead.
Yeah, he wasn't undead at all. He was just still alive. Splinter Shield goes over and he says a prayer for the guy, you know, and the power of the god and blah, blah, blah. And Malgrim is fuming. Splinter Shield's like, Malgrim, just, you know, why don't you go and walk over there, take a lap, and I'll take care of things. And he, again, Splinter Shield turns to you and he's sort of angry. He's like, I don't know why you did that. He's like, you may have actually done a service to this poor man because clearly they were in a lot of pain. But he's like, we'll talk about the repercussions of this later. But he's like, I think that I should accompany you guys. He's like, clearly whatever did this is powerful magic. And he's like, as the most senior cleric here in the village, he's like, I feel it's my duty to follow up on these men. He's like, this is my community. I invite everybody here. Essentially, I think of all of you as a part of my family. And he's like, if there are the possibility that some more of these poor souls are out there, whether they're infected or not, I feel it's my duty to go. And Malgrim, who's like by now way over here, he's like, what? And he comes charging back up and he's like, no way, Splinter Shield, you stay right here. He's like, you are important to this community, you are not expendable.
Not like him.
I get into an argument.
You're not going to shoot him? Great.
No!
Splinter Shield, he's like, so I'm to cower behind these walls, ignoring the desperations of the blind Scourge? I think not. He's like, I am going, Malgrim. He's like, I respect your opinion, but I am leaving with this group. And he's like,
who's Malgrim again?
He's the half-orc who was the leader of the Rangers.
Okay.
So
maybe he should, maybe Splinter Shield should, do another blessing for the force.
And,
I think somebody forgot Malgrim's birthday.
So,
maybe we should get a replacement there.
Malgrim says that, before that last guy died from the arrow to the throat, he mentioned something about water. And he said there's a few areas, in the forest near where these guys were working that had natural water sources. So he's like, that's probably a good place to start. He's like, gather your things, we're leaving. So he doesn't seem to leave it open to debate. And if there's any preparation you guys want to do before you leave, you've got a few minutes to do it, and then it's time to hit the road.
Okay.
I go inform Steve's next of kin that he's been murdered.
Yeah. Charges are pending.
Yeah. I whack him on that with the bow.
All right, you're not getting any heals.
So what?
So what? We'll find out.
Okay, so
I didn't want to be injured in combat.
It's evening, as I mentioned before. The whole thing started. You guys were going to the tavern after everyone had finished work. So by now it's 7-8 o'clock in winter. So it's very dark. There is a reasonable amount of illumination from a nearly full moon, but it is essentially dim light. So, for purposes of observation and stealth, that will play into it. Likewise, it's been snowing for many days, so there's quite a bit of snow around. You can quite easily see signs of tracks over areas where the workers have walked. And, of course, you make the crunch, crunch, crunch as you walk on the snow. So it works both ways. Other creatures will be a lot less likely to sneak up on you because of the crunch, crunch, crunch. But at the same time, it makes your ability to move silently that much more difficult. Likewise, for hiding, as I mentioned before, if you run up behind a tree, your footprints will clearly show that you've run up and gone behind the tree. And, again, that works both ways. If there's a monster hiding behind the tree, if he had to walk there, you'll be able to see his tracks pretty clearly.
Can I make a stealth check to walk silently?
Well, these guys are going to be making a ton of noise, so...
Not much use.
It's probably not going to help you that much.
Not much use, you kind of...
So,
what about
Steve?
What? Like, surprise! And you made an attack.
You shot a helpless man.
It's close to the recorder there, between the rock and the tree. That's where you guys are going to come into that other map. And Splinter Shield's there as well. And Splinter Shield, he wants to be near the front, but he recognizes Belgos' ability as a ranger. And if Belgos wants to be more in the front, that's fine. But it should be Belgos, then Splinter
Shield.
My guy.
Okay, so I'm up front.
Yeah, so anywhere behind.
I'm on a board. Oh, that's a tree. I'm behind. No. I'm beside a tree.
Okay. And move Splinter Shield up to the other side of the tree, flanking the tree. There you go, perfect. Okay. So that's where the scene will begin. So let me just read what's going on. Okay. Even in the depths of a winter night, the Harkon Forest is alive with activity. Nocturnal birds flutter from one tree to the next. The wind blows dead leaves across the forest floor, creating a constant whisper of sound. Or there'll be a lot of snow, and they won't. The full moon shines down, producing long, ominous shadows across the snowy ground. The only illumination that reaches into the darkest places is the flickering from the torches. So again, now you've got that cleric power where you can turn the lights on, right?
Yeah.
How long does that last?
What's it called? Sun's glow?
I've got light as well.
1 hour.
Okay. You've got that, and you've got a light as well? How long does that last?
Light shed bright light until the end of the encounter or until you lose the power again.
Isn't that 5 minutes?
End of the encounter is usually 5 minutes. So for non-combat purposes, we'll assume that you two guys can have the lights going, and that would be more than enough to eliminate the battlefield. If you choose to suppress the light, let me know, because that will play into it. Did you have light as well?
I do not have light.
Okay. So I'll assume both of you guys have magical light that's illuminating from where you are.
Yeah.
So I know very often you like to hide. If you've got that light on, it's going to make hiding a lot more difficult. You can certainly kill the light, but it's going to make the ability to see around the field a little bit tougher as well.
But you can enchant something with light and give it to someone else.
Yeah, like if a fight happens, you can just, you know, pick up a rock and then say, I enchant this rock with light, and then just leave it on the ground. That's fine too.
Yeah. But if you don't specifically tell me, lob it over there.
So you'll have to take a minor action on your turn to do that. Okay.
Smart idea.
I can cast Sun's Glow on an unoccupied square.
So again, for now, while you guys are moving, we'll assume that you've got those cast either on yourself or on something that you've got on you. Just we'll say that you take a minor action to put it onto something stationary when you're calling on this. Okay. So this is a little mini skill challenge in order to find the area where the foresters are. So everybody, hang on. Everybody will get a chance to contribute. Ideally, you want to try and use different skills, but you don't have to use different skills.
What's the skill?
You tell me. Now, what I do want to encourage, though, is if people are going to use the same skill, work together.
Okay.
So if three guys say, I want to use nature, then you guys decide. One guy makes the primary check, the other two assist,
okay,
and that'll be our nature.
I'm doing nature, because nature's one of my best skills.
Okay, so.
Anyone else have a good
so
nature?
Let's figure out what everyone's going to do before we do any rolls. So, okay, so Noah, as a ranger, you want to use nature. How are you using nature to help?
I'm using nature to see, like, if there's any signs of passing through the air.
So that would probably be more like perception.
Perception? Oh, I've got the same perception as
okay,
nature.
So you can use perception. So don't roll yet. So you can use perception to try and spot any tracks or anything like that. Okay.
Any broken tree branches where someone might have stumbled.
Okay, no problem. Liam, what are you doing?
How hard is the traveling?
Splinter Shield's putting out a pretty good pace. He's clearly concerned that if these other guys are already dead, any survivors might either be dead already or be close to death, so he really wants to make good time.
Alright. I guess I'll roll endurance then, because I'm not a woodsman.
Don't roll yet. Okay, you're going to use endurance? Okay, no problem. And that's to, what, just...
Does not flat.
Okay. Come up with a decent pace. Barry, what are you going to do?
I'm going to illuminate a rock and lob it at the front.
Yeah.
Okay, well, right now, you're not actually here on this map. Your characters are walking through the forest. You're trying to find where these guys were. So how do you want to help?
I will prepare a rock.
Okay, so you're going to just have a light source to try and do that? We'll say that that'll work as an assist with your perception.
I'm assuming because I didn't see the magic earth or the arcane problem with disease or whatever they have, that I can't use Arcana to sense the presence of that. I haven't seen it in action yet. I've just seen the aftermath.
No, if you knew it was close by, you could probably, you know, try and focus on it like you could with a magical item or something. But just considering that basically every round you're doing a double move, so any sort of attempt for that kind of a blanket detection would be, you know, I mean, on a 20, I would say you might get a faintest hint of something if there was something nearby.
Okay.
But
so
you would know that.
Okay, well, I'm going to assist with his perception.
You assist with the perception?
Yeah.
Okay, so Barry, give me a perception check just to represent your assist.
Plus 4.
Okay, roll it up.
Oh, 9.
I'm going to give you a plus 2 for the magic lights. That'll give you 11. That'll be enough.
23.
Knocked it out of the park. Okay, so Noah, you're going to get a plus 4 on top of this check.
7. 11.
Plus your skill.
Oh, 19.
Okay, that's really more than that's not far enough. You are able, there's different things that the numbers will give you different successes. So with perception, you are absolutely able to find the trail, and you're making good time, and you're like, yeah, you can see where some of the guys, as they were traveling, maybe went up here and then came back and went up there. But you know what kind of things to look for, given your training with nature, and you managed to stay on the main trail, and you keep going.
And perception, and...
Liam,
endurance. Check. So, yeah, I'm an
anthropologist.
I got a 17. I'm traveling through the dead of night in the middle of a field of snow with scale mail.
You have a shield?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a big one.
Heavy or light?
Okay, so we've got a perception check and we've got an endurance check. So let's see if we can come up with a couple more creative things to do to help make this travel a little bit more exciting.
Nature.
How do you want to use nature?
Successfully detect if any animals in this area are behaving unnaturally.
Excellent idea. Okay, let's wait. Let's get everyone else's. So, Liam?
What I want to do is history. I've been collecting information about the surrounding area for quite some time.
Yep.
Trying to document it. And so, chances are I will be familiar with where this like logging camp.
So they wouldn't necessarily go to the same place every time, but
they would know, like, in general.
Yeah, which areas might yield better crop and such. Barry, what would you like to do to help out?
I talk to the dwarf and say, maybe you should perform a blessing in the area.
As he's trudging along, he's like, those kind of things take too much time, and they take a lot of prep work. But he's like, clearly if they're going to spend a lot of time out here, that's not a bad idea.
Smart dwarf. It's the first one today.
I'm just going to have to assist again, I think, because...
I mean, you don't have to do anything, but you certainly can
assist. I'll assist you.
Okay, so let's get the assist on the nature check. Rock it. Let's get the nature check.
Seven.
Another seven.
eight, so... 15 plus
2.
6. Oh, 17.
Okay. Okay. So much like the perception check, as you start getting closer and closer, you see more signs of, yep, we went through here, look, this is where this brushed up along, and you see some signs where over the last couple of weeks they've already done some logging and they've cut down some trees, and so as you get closer you start to pick up on some of those details, and of course as you point them out, Splinter Shield like picks up the pace. Okay, we must almost be there. What were you doing again?
I was going to use history.
Yep.
But actually what I want to do is I'm going to swap that over for streetwise.
Okay.
Sure. Chances are I may have actually talked to them.
Yep.
14.
Plus 0.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, from what you know, what you know and the direction of where you're going seem to make sense. They seem to coordinate, and given what the ranger is like, we want to go this way, and this is on the right track, the information that you have at your disposal.
Yes. I recall them mentioning that oak that we're passing here. Yes. Anthropologist.
I'm actually pretty good sports in this area.
Okay. Well, where I'm sitting, you've got enough successes to go, but I don't want to cut you off. If there's anything specific that you want to do, we can do it. Otherwise, the PCs will have found the camp. But is there anything else you want to do before you arrive at the camp as far as a skill check?
Oh, yeah. Just in case we're being followed, I'm going to stealth to brush away some of the traps.
Good idea. Stealth check. Wait. Okay,
One.
You realize that the path you've been following, you're following the trail of the other guys, and there's been so much foot traffic that at this point it would be hard to mask it. If anything, it's just more of it's getting trampled down more. So there's not really much you can do in that regard.
Cool. I want to make a religion check.
Yep.
So I'm not really used to this kind of footwork, so as we're traveling, I'm trying to think about the whole position about the Phantom Brigade, the ghost of losing,
Salazar Blast.
Yeah. And see if I can figure out anything about the history, the religious context that's in the 10.
Yeah. It's probably been mulling. You've probably been mulling it over for a couple of months.
Yeah, nothing.
No new flashes in its sight.
Cool.
Okay, so we're gonna pick it up right there. The party. That's where the party arrives. And, sorry. Go ahead.
I prepare a rock and illuminate light on it.
You already did that.
Yeah, you've already got that.
Okay. Just making it clear.
Give me an endurance check.
An endurance check. Five plus four, nine.
Okay. So you've been carrying this rock for like a half an hour and like trudging through the snow at top speed, and you're just getting tired. And basically when the party arrives and they're going to sort of slow down for a minute, you seem to catch your breath. So during the first round, you basically you're effectively slow. You can only move two squares. Yeah. But that's only just while you catch your breath for a quick second. All
right.
Okay. So a small break in the woods.
A very large rock.
It better be a brick of gold.
But you're using it like a torch, so you have to sort of keep it out so people can see for themselves. A small break in the woods reveals the presence of six figures dressed in tattered clothes that mark them as the inhabitants of Inverness. The skeletal trees surrounding the clearing obscure your sight of them for a moment. When the view clears, they are much closer. And you notice unmistakable signs that they are infected by the same sickness as the ones who stumbled into Inverness earlier this evening. Unlike their dead fellows, these foresters seem to be feverish, maddened, and extremely aggressive.
Okay, I lob the rock in their direction.
On your turn, you can do that.
Okay.
You shot him because you would have shot whatever it happened.
I knew someone would do that. But I'm setting this up like this.
Okay.
You know what?
You would have shot anyone.
That's a clever way to set it up.
Well, when I was reading it, it's like, just role play it out. I'm like, it says he reaches up and grabs from one of the players. I'm like, I'll just roll. And the first guy's going to be like, I shoot him. Sure enough, that's what happened.
Well, it's obvious. What would you do if you got attacked and you had to have a longbow handy?
Not shoot. What? Not shoot him. He's a lumberjack. He's ill.
Well, one thing, from what I know, this is a lot like rabies, so it's going to be maddening, and I was just making sure I wasn't threatened.
You weren't, though.
So, for purposes of the combat, in order for me to make sure I'm tracking everything,
right,
I'm going to call these guys blue cloaks and yellow cloaks, and they all have these little colored triangles, so just tell me blue cloak orange, blue cloak green, yellow cloak orange, just that way I can mark down the damage appropriately. Okay, so, that's... Oh, pardon me, someone's much closer. That guy starts right there.
Oh, crud! He's getting an arrow in the face!
There's like killed Steve.
Whatever, about Steve!
Or Steve.
Okay, so
I'll never forget.
Poor Steve that threatened a dragonborn.
Threatened? He just needed help. Steve misunderstood.
You know what?
What?
Dragonborn, I'm a nobility. My race, all my thing is about nobility.
You killed a man.
You know what? Never mind, you don't understand. You have crappy nature knowledge.
You shot an innocent man in the face.
Yeah, nature's crap.
I don't get it. It's okay.
So you want to know that this is great. I have my own reasons for
this. You hated Steve. You always hated Steve.
He had his eye on Steve's wife, and he figured this was a perfect opportunity to
murder Steve.
They go control the wife. Oh, there. He's in a better place with my arrow sticking out of him.
Two birds with one stone.
Yep.
Or one arrow.
One arrow, as the case may be. Okay, so this picks up with the yellow cloaks getting the initiative. So,
all right.
If you get in a bad spot, I'm not getting you out of it.
No heals for you.
So what? Who needs heals? I've done a pretty good job of not taking damage. Two encounters out of four of not taking damage whatsoever.
You know what? That's exactly what Steve is.
Okay. They can... shift. They can either move their full speed or shift three squares. So this guy just shifts over to there to make room for his pal. Okay, so I think the ranger looks particularly juicy.
Oh, come on!
Pardon me.
Oh, you guys flank me?
Yeah, they get sneak dice.
Okay, so they have hand axes.
Ooh, that's a problem.
And so we'll say, what colors do I got there? Green and yellow?
Yeah.
Okay, so green uses the blue dice. And let's see, we're going to have a 19 and a 21 versus armor class.
Two hits.
Okay, this is going to hurt. I hope you got lots of hit points.
I've got reasonable hit points.
Okay, so the first guy does 13 damage. And the second guy does 9 damage.
Whoa, that's bloodied already.
Bloodied already?
You're really going to need those heals, aren't you? Too bad you don't need them.
Right? What?
Okay.
What? Next time.
Next time, don't shoot Steve.
Yep. And the guy attacks the cleric and rolls a 20 versus armor class.
That hits.
That's
hot dice tonight. You know what? I did not do as much damage on you as I was supposed to. You're lucky. I misread it. I gave you you take 9 damage.
Alright.
They were supposed to do plus 5, and I only did plus 3, so you should actually have 4 more points.
So,
you're good. No, you're good. I'm sorry. Don't worry about
minus
it.
3 plus 20. I'm right, really low. I'm in a bad way.
Don't worry. Most of the heroes get to go now. Oh, no, look at that. It's your turn.
Okay. I just need to calculate it. It's 26. What do I have? 26.
You're not unconscious, are you? What are your maximum hit points?
26.
It's a good thing I did my math. You have 4 hit points left.
Ah! Okay,
when
I immediately...
second win?
Yeah! Yeah. And then get the heck away from these guys. So I immediately use my second wave.
I would not.
Why?
You have to give up your attack action to do it.
Okay, good point. So,
don't forget, you do have an action point.
I shift one square.
Yep.
Take a minor action to put on aspect of the dancing serpent.
Okay. Don't forget, you have your dragon breath you can use as a minor weapon, a minor attack as well. Right?
I really need aspect of dancing serpent.
Okay.
Now. And I make.
Do you have a melee weapon? Because if you make a ranged attack from there, they're both going to get an attack on you. Barry,
no.
You're going to be next.
I am?
I make a diagonal move over to here.
So you're just going to do 2 moves?
Yeah.
Did you want to still use the serpent then?
Yeah, and then I make another shift. Can I move?
No, you can only shift one square.
But I made 2 moves instead of standard action.
So you did 2 moves and the minor action to do the dancing serpent.
And that gives me an extra shift.
After you make an attack, doesn't it?
No, automatically at the end of
my turn. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really handy power.
No kidding.
So I shift into this tree.
That would be difficult terrain, so you'd have to shift behind it.
Yeah, I'm behind it.
Not like to move from this square to this square costs 2, or from here to here costs 2. So you'd have to move over to here. That's your second shift.
Oh.
So when you were here, yeah.
Then I move like that.
Hey, get away from me.
Okay.
Hey! There's only one guy who can fight at close and personal.
Anything else? Okay. Barry, you're up. Craig, you're on deck.
Okay. I
move. Bomb a magic missile at those!
Back here, behind the rock.
He's out of the map again!
And lob the rock here.
Okay, so light will not be a problem during the combat.
Yeah.
Good. And, do you want to make an attack roll against someone?
No.
You
Come
sure?
Come on, use arc lightning.
It's your call.
Alright, I will magic missile this dude.
Okay.
Thank you!
Yellow, green. So
that's plus 1, so it's 7 points.
So what are my colors out there again? Green, orange,
and yellow.
Yellow.
I'm really not having a good time.
Okay. What's a yellow cloak with which color? Green? 7 points?
Someone else did you what you just did.
Yep.
Poor Steve.
Okay, Craig, you're up.
Lift my orb and blast them with beguiling strands, which will only affect those two. So yellow, yellow, and yellow, green.
Okay.
Yellow, yellow is 15 versus will.
That hits.
Yellow, green is 24 versus will.
Yep, their will is 12, so you should have no problem.
Wonderful. All right, so 4 damage each, and I knock them back 5.
Sorry, how much damage? 4?
4 damage each.
That includes your magic orb? Or is that...
Oh, and the, you know what? I don't think that one actually gets included in the... I did it on character builder, and it didn't...
I wasn't sure. So if you got on character builder, the math should be correct.
Yeah, yeah. So
4? Yeah. Okay, so that was green and yellow?
Yeah, and it knocks them back 5 squid. Okay.
1, 2, 3, both of them?
5, yep.
Excellent.
So when I'm the only person left in
the round, okay. Oh, do you want to move?
No, I am good where I am.
Use an action point.
No, sir. I'll just stay. Okay. Stay.
The other sword guy.
So this should be more damage. It's a green one. Splinter shield. Roar! Charges up.
Is he an idiot?
He uses his encounter power. Smite! Throw! Barry, you want to roll for splinter shield?
I will roll.
He's got a plus 7. A plus 8 because you charge.
19.
Nice. Okay, that's going to be a solid hit. 2d8 damage.
2d8?
Smashes him with his warhammer. Or what
want me
is
to roll that?
That
too?
Yes, please.
2 and 6.
8 damage.
And he's got plus 3, so that'd be 9 against the green guy. 20 damage.
What's he wielding?
A mace.
So he
bloodies that guy soundly, and it knocks him prone as a part of the attack.
Smashes him in the face with his large mace.
His skull just explodes.
Boom!
He turns around and he points to Noah, and he's like, "Let the healing begin!" And he reaches out, and you get to use your healing surge.
Oh, that's a handy.
He can only do that once. You get a surge plus 1.
Surge plus 1?
Yep.
Where's my surge? I forgot my
Okay. The blue guys.
Surge value.
Blue dudes.
I regain 9 hit points. I'm up to 13.
Good luck.
Just for, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to push everybody 1 square up, just so that everybody's actually on the map.
But I was on the map.
But I had that rock in front of me.
The rock is like this big. It wasn't going to help you.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, move all these guys back one as well, just for purposes of that. Okay, so.
Then I'll spend next round, I'm making a second one. One guy doesn't seem to like splinter shields. Oh, God, Harry.
It's a tree, isn't it?
Yeah. No, he can't make it around the tree.
He charges.
He does.
Okay, so let's bring it on.
Now it's my turn to save people.
Okay, we'll do Splinter Shield first. A 1. Good job, Splinter Shield. On Craig's Wizard, another 1. I don't believe it. And on Barry, you know what you're going to get now, Barry, don't you? After 2 ones, you know what's next?
7.
15. That'll probably be enough. 22 versus armor class.
You just did it.
What do you have?
14.
Okay, that is 11 points of damage. I rolled the maximum.
See? These guys are annoying. Now do you see why I shot the guy?
The beguiling strands, was that thunder damage?
No, sir, it is.
Psychic damage?
I don't think it's anything. Oh, yeah, psychic damage.
Sorry, my bad. I forgot to ask.
What, they're vulnerable to thunder?
They have some vulnerabilities and some resistances, so I just wanted to make sure that I had scored everything correctly. Okay, that was all the blues? Yeah, 1-1 and 3. Good. Okay, we got Liam. All
right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use a Sun's Burst.
Okay.
On the guy right in front of me. So I swing my sword at him, and I get a massive 13 versus AC.
Which is not going to do it. All right. However...
However, me and all my allies are going to gain 5 temporary hit points.
Thank you!
Wonderful.
At which any time. At which point I'm going to shift back.
Oh, great. Now you're within range of the next guy.
Yeah, but I'm by Barry.
Okay.
What? Huh?
Okay.
All done, Liam?
Yeah.
Okay. We got the yellow cloaks.
Wait, they went... Oh, they just won.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The end of the round.
I'm slow.
Once we hit the end, we have to
Just get... Get off of me! Next time, you're getting a bow with the... Arrow in the face!
Second churches. This guy attacks a cleric because he's going to have combat advantage. This guy attacks the dragonborn. This guy just stands up. Okay, so.
Only one guy is going after me.
Cleric?
Yes.
16 versus armor class?
That's a miss.
It's a good thing.
Block with a shield.
Dragonborn? 25 versus armor class. And splinter shield. Going to take damage as well. Okay, dragonborn, you take. 7. Splinter Shield takes 8. Don't forget temporary hit points. 37. Okay. That's it for the yellows.
How does heroic effort work?
I think you add to your attacks for
if you miss.
No, you're right.
Then you get this part of whatever you miss.
I shift.
So that's an automatic.
Yeah, it's triggered by
a shift over there.
Yep.
First I shoot this yellow orange in the.
The orange is the only one who has not been hit yet for the yellows. The other yellows are both taking damage.
Oh, then I hit the yellow. Okay. That yellow. No, actually, I hit the bloody yellow.
Okay, good call.
I'm about to smack this.
Yep.
17, what? Oh, and I'm making clever shot, just by
17
way.
Will hit.
17 plus 8. Definitely a hit.
Definitely.
So, and, so, 22.
Barry, you're going to be up next.
4, 9 damage.
Okay.
And, 9 damage, and I knock him back prone.
Nice.
No, actually, I slide him 2 squares.
Even better. And the other guy
one,
will just be able
to
take care of us. Okay, anything else?
Oh, yeah, and now I use drag prep on them.
Okay, roll it up. Versus their reflex?
Yeah.
13's your number.
4 plus 9. Dang.
Okay, and on the, on the orange guy?
Oh, and...
You attack both of them, right?
Yeah, of course. 7 plus 5.
Not enough. So you tried, but you missed the one.
No, that. Oh yeah, that's right. And oh yeah, using my aspect of dancing serpent, yep. I shift again.
Okay. Barry, you're up. Craig, you're on deck.
Okay, I'm gonna use Arc of Lightning on these two guys.
Okay. You're gonna have to move 1 square away first.
I am.
What's that?
I am.
Yeah. Otherwise, the blue guy's gonna get to free attack on you. You don't want that.
Oh, okay. I
just
will.
Shift the 1 square, and then you'll be good.
Okay. I'm gonna use Arc of Lightning.
Yep.
On these two guys.
Yep.
6 plus 4. That's 10 plus 1, 11.
Not enough.
Okay, I will try it on this guy.
Yep.
7 plus 4, that's 11 plus 1, 12.
Not enough. Barry, we need your 20s, man. Dice got cold.
Yes.
Okay.
Cold.
Craig, you're up.
Shifting back here, and once again, beguiling strands this way. So
good job, good job.
Blue orange is. What you said?
Versus Will, 12 your number.
All right, so that is a hit, that's 13 Will. Yellow. A hit, you're roll 18. Yellow orange, not a hit, that's a 9. And last one, blue, what a kill.
No, that's a friendly.
Oh, it's friendly. Oh, my bad. That's
friendly.
It. So hit these two and I missed this guy last time.
Okay, so that was the blue orange.
Yeah, blue orange and yellow.
4 damage.
Yeah, 4 damage.
And yellow.
4 damage.
And you want to move more armor?
We're just smacking them out of the way. Not really damaging. Well, actually, splinter shield
hey,
to damage the cat.
Considering that they can shift 3 squares, you don't want them around you at the start of their turn. They'll get combat advantage and they'll crush you.
That's why.
And that is my turn.
Match point.
Okay, I'm going to make 2
okay.
square moves.
Splinter
just
Shield.
Just try and knock him back and use range attack.
Well, Splinter Shield can't get close enough to the bloody... Oh, yeah, sure.
He's shift
yep,
charge.
He's going to shift and charge. Because that guy is going down. Or not. I shouldn't have rolled for him. I should have rolled for you guys. Well.
I can
okay.
do it.
Nope.
No.
Blue Cloak.
I'm going to kill you, Splinter Shield.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, come on! Get away from me!
Hey, you're right there. Why would he move? Why would he not keep fighting you? You're clearly injured.
Man.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm clearly injured,
Splinter Shield.
I'm also a dragonborn.
Miss. Dragonborn. 11.
Completely.
And on Liam. You're going down for the count, pal. Crit is going to be 17 points damage.
Oh, I can take that.
Oh, good. Because you're going to.
I got 5 hit points.
You got to get out of that combat advantage.
Okay.
Liam, you're up.
Alrighty.
Followed by the yellows.
So as a minor action, you can use heal a word on myself.
Call.
So I get my healing charge plus 3, whatever that is. 9. Ooh. Pretty funny.
What are you saying?
As a move action, I'm going to use face death.
Suckers!
I'm going to go there. So I got my flank going on.
Yay, we're flanking!
I'm going to use the Blessing of Battle against that guy. So this will be against AC eventually. 14 plus 7, 21.
What is he? Blue what?
Blue green.
How much damage there, bud?
So that will be 13 points of damage. 24. And I gain resist to all.
Okay. Good. Anything else?
No, that'll do it.
Yellows. Okay. I'm gonna get you right here.
Sorry, Barry. Did my best.
Okay, Barry. 15 versus armor class.
Oh, just hit.
8 points. Splinter Shield. Gonna take one for the team here in a big way. You take 2 big ones in a big way. Splinter Shield may be going down.
We didn't need him.
6, that's not bad.
12.
Can't do close first, because he's gonna need them. Either that or I'll take care of them.
You are mostly unlikely.
Okay, he does not like that at all. Okay. That was the yellow. Noah, you're up.
Okay.
Barry, you're after Noah.
I'm in a bad mood with this guy. Real bad mood. Ooh, that's a problem, because I can't get out of his way to make a range.
You have a sword, don't you?
Yeah, I have a sword, but it's really bad. Whatever. I draw my sword, and I'm like, all right, you deserve this. And,
be the basic.
17.
Oh, yeah, that
plus 5.
Yep, roll up the
22.
Damage.
8 damage.
9, actually.
9 damage.
What, which color is that? Green?
Yeah.
Blue green. Yeah.
Green.
That bloodied him. Someone want to mark him, please? I assume you still have your serpent thing on?
Yeah, of course I do. Good no, job. It lasts till the end of the encounter.
Okay, Barry, you're up next. Craig?
Oh, I have to shift. Oh, I'm going to shift 2 squares because of move and that.
Yep.
1. That's a problem, though.
Yep.
1.
Let's do this again. Let's just move everyone up 1 more square.
Thank you. I can dash into there.
Okay. All right. Barry, you're up. Craig, you're after Barry.
I'm going to use Freezing Burst.
Yep.
Area Burst 1 within 10 squares.
Okay.
Okay. So,
blast.
5. Plus 4, 9.
Versus which? No, that's not going to work. And on the other guy?
Oh, 5 plus 4, 9.
Barry with the freezing cold dice.
Oh, wow. Heroic effort.
What defense are you attacking? Reflex? For armor class. It's reflex, I'll hit.
I don't know. How does this work?
Which one do you use? Do you use the ice class?
Yeah.
It is... Reflex.
Reflex, that'll hit then. With the heroic effort.
You hit both of them.
No, just a second.
Okay.
So that was the other one.
1d6 plus 5. 3, 8, plus 1, 9 points of damage. And I slide the creature, the target, 1 square.
Yeah, get him the Holloway. Perfect. He's right on top of the bush.
Oh,
okay. Anything else? Action point?
Second win.
You need you have to give up your attack action to use your second one.
Okay.
So you're good for now.
What? You could use an action point.
Surge? You need to use an action point.
Action.
You're good for now. Okay, are you at half your hit points yet?
Pardon?
Are you at half of your damage? Like, you have damage equal to half?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bunch of guys are getting bloodied here.
Okay, Greg,
I
need some help.
Yes, sir. Damage.
Shifting here. The Guiling Strands yet again, blue green. That is 14 versus Will. So
hit.
What's that? Blue
yellow orange. That's 13. Will.
Sorry.
Blue yellow.
That guy's too far away.
That's also a hit.
No, that guy.
He was on the pole.
He was on the pole.
Yeah, it was very well.
No, he's one square closer. He's just on the pole.
Oh, okay.
How bad? Did you hit the last guy?
Yeah, I hit him.
This guy's actually in this square. He just keeps sliding off.
Okay, so he's within my range then, right?
Yeah, he is again.
So yeah, I'll hit.
Okay, so give me the colors again, blue, white.
So that is blue-green,
yep.
Yellow-orange, and blue-yellow.
Yellow-orange, and
blue-yellow. Yeah,
okay,
starting
move around. The green guy is bloody. He's marked. Yeah, he's good.
We are starting to pound him.
You know what? I think I might.
I would recommend it.
Okay, I would like to. Does he have cover from this dude? Like this guy back here, have cover from him?
Okay.
Oh wait, you know, never mind. I'm going to use an action point magic missile this dude here.
Magic missile. What color is that? That's yellow. Which?
Yellow green. He's a bloody dude, and that is 7. Posted.
Good job. Excellent use of a magic missile. Okay.
Action point.
Splinter Shield.
No!
He's a dwarf, so it's his minor action. Uses his second wind to give himself back some hit points. He's no longer bloodied. He tries to pound on that guy. Barry's been rolling like shit. Who's been rolling good? He's been rolling good. Roll it up, Barry. 3.
Five.
Maybe a
5.
Roll a 5. Man.
So that's only going to be a 12. It's not going to be enough. Oh, well, he tried.
My dude, basically.
Okay. And now the blue guys.
Not that many blue guys.
This guy will...
No more attacking me. Okay, I'm fed up. Sick and tired of
this. This guy will move up and charge.
Really annoying.
That guy will attack me.
Oh no!
Straight up. Splinter Shield. Almost a crit. And Liam, 19 versus AC.
That'll hit.
Okay.
Just barely.
And, 8 apiece.
Alright, so take 6.
Splinter Shield's bloody again. It's right on the number.
I'm also bloody.
Bloody all around. Okay.
There's only one person who does it.
Alright,
how many times can I use
healing word on myself?
I have some counterpowers to this one.
Sorry, what's that?
Using healing word on myself.
Okay.
Again?
Yep. So I get my healing surge plus 4.
Do you do 2 extra to somebody else when you use that?
Oh, that's true.
So you got 2 from the last time and 2 from this time.
Yeah.
You can give them to the same guy, you can give them to 2 different people.
You can take 2 hit points, you can take 2.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
No surge required, just straight up for free.
So now I'm up to 18. But not bloody anymore.
The yellow is bloody. I don't know where he is on the map.
Yellow?
Cool. Then I'm going to use a blessing of battle on the guy right in front of me.
Okay.
So I try to slice him over with the sword. Right. So I miss him.
Do you have elven accuracy? No, you're the different elf. Action point?
No, I'm going to use move action and shift back.
Okay.
Take it, wizard.
Okay, yellows.
2 yellows.
That yellow will 1, 2, 3 shift again in flank position and miss Splinter Shield.
This guy?
Yeah, he was shifting around, so he shifted right. Welcome. And where's my other yellow? He's way over there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's going to move into the square with the tree and attack Liam and miss. 15 versus armor class?
That is nice.
That one. Okay. That was yellow. You have to leave? Okay. Probably gonna be about 10 more minutes. Is that okay? Okay. It's your turn, bud.
I'm up?
Yep.
Okay.
You didn't get attacked.
Good.
You can use your bow this time.
I aim at these two with my rapid shot.
You're going to shoot Splinter Shield?
No!
He might. Let's see how badly he rolls. If you can roll a critical, that would be a good time. Okay, start with the yellow guy. A solid hit will probably kill him.
19 minus 2.
That,
minus 2.
Why do you have minus 2?
Because I'm using rapid shot.
Oh, that'll still hit. And then on the other
plus
guy?
My, plus
yeah, you're fine. That should be more than enough. And on the blue spot?
12 minus 2 plus
8. 18. That will also hit. So those are two hits. So roll me the damage for the yellow guy first.
Okay, yellow
guy. That's yellow, right?
Yellow, yep.
Yep.
0, 10 damage.
He is on the last legs of life, but he's still standing.
Oh, 10 plus 5.
That's enough. I'm like, a magic missile will kill him.
Kaboom.
Or the arrow that killed Steve.
Poor Steve.
Can we just leave Steve out of this?
Okay, and then the other guy?
1 plus 5, 6 damage.
Steve must be rolling around in his grave.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, Barry, you're up.
So I launch two arrows and they sort of fall and stick in the guys.
Freezing burst on these two guys.
Okay, so start with the yellow guy, yellow orange.
Okay. 11 plus 4, that's 15.
That'll hit.
And the other guy,
oh,
16 plus 4, that's 20.
Yep. Okay, so roll up the damage.
Okay, 1d6 plus 6.
Yep. One roll, both guys.
1, 6, 7 points of damage.
Okay. And what color is the blue? Blue what?
Blue green. Do I roll individual damage?
Nope. Yeah, blue green guy is like almost dead.
Okay.
A stiff freeze will knock him over.
Can I use an action point to gain a healing surge?
You can use your action point to spend your second wind, or you can just chill out. You guys seem to have the fight in order again. As long as none of them attack you, you'll be fine.
Okay, I'll use the second wind.
You gonna use it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you need to use your action point to do that.
Okay.
Okay, so use your action point, use your second wind, you can spend a healing surge and regain those hit points.
Okay.
Okay, Greg, you're up.
Alright, I'm gonna actually mix it up a bit and use a little hypnotism on yellow orange.
Okay. You're
very sleepy.
12's your number if it's against a will.
You need to kill that guy.
Yes, it is. Wonderful, 15 versus will.
Yep.
And yeah, and I'm gonna make he's gonna make a basic attack against his little buddy there.
If he hits him, he'll go down.
He gets a plus 4 power bonus to his
He needs a 5.
Oh, he critted.
No.
Whoa! Ka-slam!
Kaboom!
His brain just exploded.
That was
Blood of Intu.
Again! That's the second cut.
Teamwork. Okay, anything else? You want to move?
No, I'm good.
Okay, Splinter Shield. Splinter Shield is going to try and pound that guy. Liam,
again!
No, you roll for him. You got a plus 7.
16.
Absolutely. 1d8 plus 3. Roll it up.
1d8. Gotcha. Oh. 6.
That's with the plus 3?
13.
6 and 3 is not 13.
Oh, 9. I thought you said 7 plus 7.
Okay. There we go. That brought the yellow. That got split.
Finally.
And then Splinter Shield shifts one in that direction to try and move a little closer to the group. Okay. Blue guy. You got any blue guys left?
One guy.
Oh, he's the only. Oh, and there's one yellow guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, blue guy will
go back. Get back at Splinter.
Who just killed all the other guys? Wizard killed one, and the other wizard killed one.
And I killed one.
We can't reach you guys. Screw it.
Actually, I killed two guys.
Oh, you rolled another one. I don't believe it. Splinter Shield is the luckiest NPC I've ever seen on the map. Okay.
He shifts his hand axe and really lets go of it.
Okay, Liam,
we're hitting the top.
Blessing of Battle. That'll be a 14 versus AC.
14 versus AC on.
Yellow.
No, that's not going to be enough.
Alright, I shift.
Okay. Mr. Yellow. Can't
hit anything.
One, two.
Oh, definitely kill the wizard. Come on.
Oh, shut up.
Love that.
13 versus armor class.
Oh, he missed. Oh. Misses.
Would a 14 have hit?
Yeah. No, because it's got plus 2 bonus to all defenses.
Oh, right, because he's the second win. Okay. Good job. Way to stay alive.
Yes. Okay. Stop him with his
Noah, your turn, bud.
Okay.
Barry, you're going to be after Noah.
So I fire at this bloody.
No, this guy.
You know what? I'm dealing with this guy first. Okay. He's bloody. I'm using my action point to get hit, okay?
Well, use your regular attack first and see if that kills.
Well, I'm making clever shots on that guy. Oh, come on. That's
what'd you get?
3.
That's not going
to
do it.
Okay, so I use my action point to shoot that guy.
Okay.
Clever shot again. 12 plus 8, 20.
20 hits. How much damage is that?
Four plus 9 damage, and I slide him 2 squares.
He's bloody.
1, 2. And he's in a tree.
Perfect.
Okay, then I use...
You get a move action.
Yeah, I make my move action to move.
Okay. Barry, you're up next.
And I shift 1 square.
Fine, that's fine.
I just
had to.
That's
your guy. That's good.
I'm going to use...
You leave that guy to me.
No.
Come on.
Shut up.
You were next to the other
I saved your rear end.
Yeah, right there. Okay, Barry, you're up, bud.
It's true.
No ass strokes here.
Use magic missile. Kill someone. Yes.
Magic missile. 7 points of damage on this gun.
7 points. He doesn't like it, but he doesn't die. You want to move?
I'm going to deal with
it. Yes. This way.
Okay, you can move up to 5 squares. Or 6 squares.
5 squares?
I can make a hit. I still got 11 hit points.
5. Six.
Okay. Hightails it out. Craig, you're up.
Charm of misplaced wrath on that little fella there.
Yep.
Oh, that's not gonna be a hit though.
So, do you have that human thing where you
have? Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Heroic effort. What does that give? Plus 4.
Will is 12. Your number. You know that.
Yeah. So,
that's all worked in.
Yeah, that's all worked in. I'm not gonna.
So don't waste
it.
Okay. Oh, good attempt. Okay. Do you want to move?
Nope, I'm staying where I am.
Okay, Splinter Shield. Someone roll. Liam, you can roll for him this time.
Splinter Shield, attack. 7 plus.
It's not going to be enough. Okay, blue guy, where's my blue cloak?
He's right by Splinter Shield.
This is the one who's getting counted.
Kill the wizard. Kill
what
the
wizard. No, not again. You're messing with the wrong dragonborn.
19 on the die.
Ow!
Is he?
9 points damage.
9 points?
Are you unconscious?
2 hit points left.
Do we know where this is going? Liam.
All right.
I'm not happy.
I'm going to move into flank.
Thank you.
You better kill him.
Kill him.
Absolutely
kill him.
Better. I'm going to use a blessing in battle again. Ah, I missed.
Oh, no.
I'm like, you should have moved into there and blocked the flank.
Kill. Kill.
Here we go. It's the Dragonborn. Is he dead?
You did negative 13. Which
he's
is
right at his number. Yeah. 46, right? This is max?
Yeah.
And he's got 2 ultimates.
You're not dead yet. You're just unconscious.
Hooray! Very unconscious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you kill them, please?
Noah, make a death save. You get a plus 2 to this because you're next to Claire.
7, 8. No, 9.
Really? First 4.
That is a strike.
Strike 1, but it won't matter. We'll be done by this. Barry.
My turn?
We got a dying ranger.
I will use freezing burst again on these 2 guys.
That will affect him and will kill him.
Okay,
magic missile?
Arc lightning.
Arc lightning.
The
ranger.
120 plus 4.
More points.
Oh, miss one.
And on the blue guy?
Miss again.
Wow. Piece of the Arctic dice. Okay. Craig, it's your turn to be the hero.
All right. You know what? I'm not taking chances. I'm just going to magic missile his face with the 7.
Okay.
Damn it. Yes.
He's not dead, but he's he was exactly on his bloody number, right to the number.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I'm not having a good day.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to shit back.
Good call.
Okay.
Splinter Shield.
Use a healing something.
Don't worry, I got you covered. Did you use your second wind?
No.
Oh, I'm not healing you then.
Splinter Shield missed.
My days are cursed.
Okay. Like blue guy.
Nobody can hit anybody.
Blue guy attacks Liam. 12.
He's going to miss.
Okay. Liam gets to attack Liam.
All right. Do dead allies count for flanking?
No.
Then you attack with your blue cloak with blessing in battle.
Hello. Healing something. 13. Healing something.
Not enough.
All right.
Give me something with healing.
As a move action, I shift.
Okay.
This
heal
is
me.
Awful.
Yellow.
Splinter Shield, no.
He's gonna hit Splinter Shield. Splinter Shield, luckiest NPC in the game.
Luckiest okay. person in the
still
game.
Still alive. Okay.
Heal me. Someone that used to
save. No, just save. Yes.
Whoa.
No better, no worse. Okay, Barry.
Okay,
so
I will use magic missile on this dude.
Okay, fire away.
That's 7 points.
He's dead.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Now, healing something.
That was the blue guy.
Okay. I heard that.
Craig.
Magic missile on the other guy. 7
minutes. That kills him. Magic missiles to the rescue.
Yay.
Like last time, when you were dead and I saved you.
I don't remember.
Okay, so let's
my head injury.
I guess I'll make the heal check.
Yeah, we better heal him before he actually 14. Gets healed. You're fine.
23.
Okay, so you stabilize your dying ally. Okay,
thank
so
you.
The combat part is over, so characters can spend healing service to regain your health.
Excellent.
Okay, so thank goodness.
So, Noah, you guys are going to need 4 surges to get back from 0 to full.
2 surges left.
Boy, this is going to make for a tough chapter.
Yeah.
Okay. After the combat, you search the bodies, and you find that one of the dudes has a magical item on him. Why he didn't use it during the fight is a mystery, but you're glad he didn't, considering how often they hit. So, let's roll it up here.
What is it?
Doesn't have an item. Everybody in this group has a magic
item.
Yay.
I'll trade
in my vicious longbow.
Magical armor.
I'll take it.
No, I need it.
It has to be metal.
Chain mail.
Can't be from the wizards.
Chain mail.
Or the ranger.
I just like the hard drives.
Okay, well.
Splinter shield.
Yeah, splinter shield for the rest of it. It's plus 1 dwarven armor, which I'm almost positive has to be on plate 14. I'll double check that.
Minor action to use.
He lets you heal with a surge if I remember correctly. Is it your
oh, I can choose that.
So, here we go. Treasure, we got. Okay, Velvet. When the heroes have had a chance to take a short rest, they notice Splinter Shield circling the clearing with an odd look in his eyes. He claims that the source of their infection, there being the dead guys, must be nearby because he can sense a wrongness to the area. He believes that they can find the source of the plague and perform a cleansing ritual to eliminate its life, just like Barry's been suggesting all along.
Oh, yeah.
He solemnly asks the heroes for their assistance. That's where we're going to get up next week, 5 minutes after this fight.
Oh no!
Bum.
The Shattered Sea is a member of the Spooky Outhouse Productions family of podcasts. To check out other great podcasts like The Shattered Sea, follow the links on the Shattered Sea homepage.